How should you set up your managed services portfolio? We will discuss that question on today's MSP Zone.
You are entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the MSP Zone. Today, we are going to talk about a very, very critical part of the setting up your managed services business. This is applicable to startups. And for those old timers out there who've been around doing this for a while, this is probably good for you as well, because this is going to be maybe a time to hit the reset button, maybe time to recalibrate, you know, your practice and get it going in the right direction. This is going to be for all of you guys out there. And we're going to be talking about this in the context of what does it mean to set up your managed services portfolio, the list of offerings, the menu of offerings, your service catalog, sometimes it's called. We're going to look at it and the impact that doing that process right, correctly, or not doing it correctly can have on your managed services practice. We're going to talk about it from a business standpoint, but we're also going to be talking about the risk and the legal liability and the hassles that could come from not doing it in exactly the right way. And as always, here to help me out with all of these complicated issues is our friend Rob Scott. Rob, welcome back.
Thank you, Charlie. Good to be with you.
All right. So service catalog, service portfolio, your menu of services. It's called a lot of different things. I want to, because it's changed a lot over the years. In your opinion, Rob, where do the MSPs want to be right now when it comes to having a service catalog? Like, assuming it's important, why is it important?
Well, I think it's important because, first of all, it's strategic to your business. You know, it goes to what your core value proposition is and what your messaging is. And it also goes to your ability to deliver quality services at scale. And then it also, and the reason I'm involved in it is it goes to how you set up your sales and contracting platforms. And it's in that final context that I've been spending a lot of time with clients, you know, talking through the various options and the best way to structure it. But you know, if you think about it, your catalog of services is as a strategic question as a restaurant's menu is to the restaurant.
Meaning that it's everything.
If it's not everything, it's a huge part of the overall value proposition that the business has.
It's your DNA as an MSP. It's what makes you and different from all the other MSPs, right?
Correct.
So my interpretation of the last 25 years of managed services has been, you know, fairly, you know, we used to have a very consistent menu or service catalog from MSP to MSP, right? Especially in the SMB layer, it would be, After the selling and the setup and the consulting services, it will be, we will manage your, you know, a small business exchange server. We will secure it. We will back it up. We will have a firewall device sitting aside it. We will have, you know, the backup device sitting beside it. And we will provide you with some help desk options, right? And those were kind of very staple, very common things. And it wasn't that difficult for most of the mainstream MSPs, but something changed obviously from then to now. Is it just the complexity of the number of service options that MSPs have, or what's your thought?
Well, I think that adds to it. I mean, that adds to the issue. I think if you think about the evolution beyond core managed services, which included in that, you know, things that you didn't mention that I think would be included are things like remote monitoring and management, you know, patch management, you know, things like that, that are, you know, traditional core managed services. But what we see now is it's rare that a client of mine only does core managed services. And frequently, you know, there's backup and disaster recovery services being performed in ways that were, that are different than what they used to be, you know, 15, 20 years ago when, you know, the job of the MSP was to change the tapes. You know, the way that MSPs deliver backup and disaster recovery today is much different than that. Managed security services, you know, beyond just core firewall and those types of things and antivirus and, you know, many MSPs today are operating security operation centers or third party partnering with those and providing a whole host of what would previously be considered enterprise class security services today to the SMBs. And so that's a big difference. In addition, with cloud and hosting, not only, you know, hosting as a service provider, as many MSPs do, but now more commonly reselling, you know, third-party cloud solutions, you know, that's a layer of complexity that didn't exist, you know, 15, 20 years ago. And then the whole host of, you know, home workers presenting new challenges, applications in application support, you know, being maybe different and more important than it was back then. And so I just think that the way people consume IT has changed, and MSPs have evolved well beyond just offering core managed services.
Okay, so the complexity involved in managed services has increased. The demand side has certainly changed over the last even 5 or 10 years. Let's go back to, you know, basics, the principles of being an efficient managed service provider. And I always liked, you know, the restaurant analogy because I thought that it was really appropriate for this particular area of review. But just like you typically, I've never seen any restaurants where the patron gets to come in and just order, you know, just order without a menu and just say, look, I want you to cook me this, 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 and this. Those types of business models don't work for hopefully obvious reasons. But the same is true also for managed service providers where they frequently, at least they used to, they frequently say, well, the customer came in with this request and we don't like to say no, so we started offering it. Why is that a bad business decision for an MSP?
I think the biggest issue that comes to mind is problems related to scale. If you're customizing a solution for every customer or adopting new technologies without significant penetration into your customer base, it's going to create not only challenges with scale, but also with expertise. You know, your people can't be expert in every system. And so I think that MSPs tend to look at themselves as consultants that will bring a technology solution to a articulated customer need. I personally think that MSPs that develop a broad offering either toward a vertical segment or with a special focus on certain aspects of the delivery, that the better, more scalable, more profitable approach is to standardize on a stack of technologies and don't deviate from it too much. You know, I'm not a big fan of, you know, gold, silver, platinum, which we used to see, you know, many years ago.
Sure.
I think that, you know, it's okay to have a core package with some select services add-ons. But you don't want to try to be all things to all people. and you want to really consolidate your menu offerings as much as you can so that everybody's getting the same solutions as much as possible from an operational perspective and from a profitability perspective.
So for those out there, you know, scratching your head and saying, well, okay, what does that really mean for me? Managed services are not consulting services. What Rob is saying, I think, is a very good adage and applicable to almost every managed services practice out there, which is maybe the more complex, the more service options you provide, the more complicated your service delivery necessarily will be. And it doesn't mean that you should only have one, right? We're not saying that, but what we're saying that is just as you add more, if you had 100, right, that's going to be infinitely more challenging than if you had 10 or 5 or 15, right? So whatever it is, you have to keep an eye on what are you delivering and is it finite? Are there a fixed number of actual service products that you can sell that are definable? And Rob, that it's so important from a service delivery, quality, efficiency, security. But the risk and the legal application, which is how does that manifest itself into a contract, is so critical. Why is that important for what you do?
Well, you know, the reason it's important for managed services is we're agreeing to a fixed price. So it becomes critically important to define with specificity what is included and what is excluded. And so if you have, you know, wishy-washy, you know, descriptions of services and you haven't taken the time to really articulate your exclusions, then all that looseness and lack of attention to detail, because you're customizing it for every customer and you got, you know, every contract is a different Word document that's been edited, you're creating a situation in which things can fall through the cracks. And that's where people get in trouble, in my experience. And so, you know, I would rather see a provider, you know, develop a very standard, broadly applicable set of services that's applicable to its target market and stick to those. And put them in a service catalog and an RMM solution, let the RMM solution generate all the quotes that drive the contracting, so there's no disconnect between what's being programmed through the RMM tool for purposes of service delivery and what lines up in the contracts.
So Rob, two questions, if I may. First of all, is it primarily the ease of the pricing and the clarification of what is delivered that is the issue for what we're advocating here?
And consistency of the obligations to deliver the services across the client base. You think about just from a contract perspective, if every deal is custom. You know, if you need to know what's going on with any customer, now you got to go figure out and pull their contract and read every bit and see, you know, what it says. If you're working off a standard calendar, you know, pretty much everybody's that is buying those SKUs is going to be on the same agreement. And if they're not, you know, we're going to document, you know, in an order form that's easy to see what, if any, changes have been negotiated.
Well, I could see that not only from a legal standpoint, it's easier to write that type of contract up. From a service delivery standpoint, it's going to be much easier to deliver that. And let's not forget our friends in the sales and marketing department. It's going to be a heck of a lot easier if you have a finite or well-defined set of service products or service catalog for the sales marketing teams to be able to communicate and sell those things. True?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, this sort of bespoke solution building is almost impossible to scale.
So I'm going to ask, here's a real easy one. This is a softball question for you, Rob. You and I have both heard it, right? The MSP business owner or executive says, well, I want to be unique. I don't want to be like all the other MSPs. And my customers want something from me. I'm going to give it to them. If that means I have to deviate from customer to customer, so be it. What is wrong with that approach to managed services?
It's self-limiting. There's going to be no way to really automate and deliver at scale if that's your approach. And failure to scale will show up in service issues. Service quality could impact the security of customer environments. And so I just think that while it's admirable to say I tailor solutions to what my customers need, I think that's true of all professional services firms. The question is, which customers are you going to take? And what is it that you're going to offer to them, both from a business perspective and contractually? And when it comes to those issues, I think that the MSPs that are doing the best have distinguished themselves either in a particular vertical or based on expertise around a particular technology. And what they're delivering is not, you know, custom solutions for clients, but a product in the market. It's a managed service. It's a managed services product offering. It's not a consulting service. And to your point earlier, you know, managed services are not consulting.
Right. So we've talked about the business side of it, right? We've talked about why it's difficult to deliver the service. It's difficult to price it out. It's difficult to market and sell that type of a service. What about the legal side of it? I mean, I can already see a couple of areas where that this would be riskier, but what is exactly the risk in not taking this advice and having that bespoke, everything is custom, everything has a different price and a different way to deliver it? Why is that bad from a legal standpoint?
Well, I mentioned that the things fall through the crack creates risk. So there could be liability risk associated with just not being able to properly manage, you know, all these unique obligations. But from the inception, you know, good contracting means you've got thoroughly vetted, time-tested descriptions of your services and those items that are excluded. And, you know, when we get hired to do an engagement, we have sample language from the hundreds of agreements that we've worked on, but every MSP is ultimately going to be tasked with defining, you know, what their service is and what they're agreeing to and not agreeing to in their own terms and their own ways. And it just seems to me that if you do that correctly in the beginning in your RMM tool, as you're deploying and building out a solution, then I can take all that work that you've done in configuring your RMM tool and your catalog and build a very seamless customer contracting platform around it that's based on e-signatures and web-based forms that has the effect of collapsing your sales process. So the quote comes out of the system, the customer signs it. That's the end of the contracting process. Whereas, you know, today there may be a proposal that gets signed and then drafts of agreements start getting circulated and then there's negotiation and editing. You know, what I'm contemplating is a much faster velocity of, you know, onboarding of customers where the sales process and the contracting process are collapsed into what now is just the signing of the proposal or quote.
So again, to put this back into perspective, there are numerous benefits to the managed services business division sales and marketing, service delivery, reducing your risk, easier to price. And from a business management standpoint, if you've done all these things, according to the way Rob kind of articulated it, your business model becomes really streamlined. I mean, your business model for that managed services business, or company, or division, whatever it is incredibly well-defined, because you probably know, if you're doing this, not just the services you're delivering, you probably know who you're selling it to, or you know a geographic boundary you're selling it within, or a service vertical, or a market vertical. I mean, all those things make your movements as an MSP incredibly efficient. I mean, Rob, is that your perspective? When you've seen your customers do this, your clients, it must have some sort of transformational effect on their business.
Look, I think it is. And part of the value is making people step back and say, who are we? What do we stand for? What are we going to be? You know, are we going to take customers that don't want backup? Are we going to take customers that, you know, are not going to benefit from the capabilities that we've developed in our stack? You know, if you got the customers that are adopting as a low percentage of your stack, do you really want those customers? And what's the probability that something's going to go wrong with those customers? And what's the probability that you're going to get caught up in some sort of a dispute as a result?
Summarizing everything for those of you late coming into the program, service catalog. And this is why I think, you know, we've always said this in doing consulting for new MSPs. If you're just starting out, this is incredibly important. What Rob has said, what we're both saying is if you take these very important steps, and even if you just take the existing service capabilities of your, Rob, I liked what you said, you know, take your RMM, take your existing tool sets if you've already got them, right? And a lot of MSPs, you know, I think there's some different ways to do this, but I think a lot of young MSPs buy the tool first and then say, okay, what am I going to do with it, right? And maybe it should be a little bit opposite, but doesn't matter. Take those tools and say, what can I do with it? What can I build with these tools? And from that, you should be able to very quickly develop that service catalog. And once you've got that service catalog, then you go to someone like Rob and you say, hey, Rob, this is what I can do. This is what I've got. Build me a deck of contracts that will protect me and my customers adequately. I mean, I hate to put it that simply, but it is that simple.
And again, Charles, I think where we always are relying on the client is for that articulation of the services. You know, I've got all the legal language to protect managed service providers that we've developed over, you know, many, many years of, you know, enduring heartaches with clients over various things. And so it's chock full of legal protections. The ultimately the client has to say, this is our menu. Just like a lawyer is not going to tell a restaurant what goes on its menu. Similarly here, you know, the clients have to articulate the menu. And once that's done well, then I could take it the rest of the way and develop this, what I'll call a very modern approach to customer contracting.
And for those of you who are wondering, you know, what if we change? What if times change and we want to change up our services? Do it. I mean, your service catalog can and should change over time, but it's a heck of a lot easier to do it with a structured approach where, let's say, a customer, 2-3 customers start coming to you and say, hey, we want a new service that we don't offer. Instead of saying no, you say, yeah. But you don't say it for just those three. You say, okay, we're going to change our service catalog. Now it's available to everybody who we service. And then your legal counsel, like someone like Rob, can then update your contracts, make sure that those new service lines are appropriately articulated into your agreements, and you're safe, your customers are safe, and you continue operating a fresh, cutting edge managed services practice. Easy enough, right? Easier said than done. Anyway, Rob, any final thoughts, any areas that you would recommend for an MSP who's just, you know, getting started? Maybe they're looking to reset that, hit the reset button on their practice when it comes to the service catalog?
For the more mature people, I'd look at which of the service lines have high penetration. And which of the service lines have low penetration. And on the low penetration service lines, you got to examine why. Is it too expensive? Customers don't understand the value proposition. Whatever the reasons are, okay? I would think about jettisoning those low adoption rate services and building an offering around the stuff that most of your clients are adopting. And narrow your menu to the stuff that a high percentage of your customers are using. And maybe you're giving up a little bit of revenue in the low adoption, but you're going to make it up in efficiency gains, HR, performance management related items, risk of things falling through the crack that could lead to liability. And so that's what I would recommend for the more seasoned MSPs. For the new guys, I would go with core managed services to start. And that would be, you know, remote monitoring and management, you know, antivirus, firewall, you know, certain application support. But I would start with the core services. And then I would go from there into hosting and cloud. So either hosting or reselling. From there, I would go to backup and disaster recovery. And from there, I would go to managed security services. But the core services that are built around, you know, remote monitoring and management are still very viable today. And if I'm just getting started and building a service catalog, I'm going to focus on core managed services. Or if I'm security oriented service provider, just managed security services only without a lot of the non-security services. So
yeah,
I think, the earlier you are, earlier on you are in your maturity, the more focused you need to be. Less, smaller menu, more focused.
I think that's great advice, Rob. And look, again, you have options, but if you do it in the right way, in the right sequence, and you end up in the spot where we've been talking about for the last 28 minutes, you'll have a easier managed services practice to manage. It'll be a lot more efficient, a lot more secure, a lot less risk, and you'll be able to sell it and market it much more efficiently and easily. And I think you'll be really surprised at the results. If you have questions, let us know. Let Rob know. You know, reach out to Rob. I'm sure he'd be happy to talk to you about how your service catalog could be better codified into your service agreements. If you haven't done that, you know, yet in your managed services practice, do it today, because there's nothing worse than having a really, really well-defined managed services practice and a very ill-defined set of contracts that don't express correctly and adequately what it is that you're delivering. That's just not really a good outcome at all. But Rob, thanks again for coming on to the MSP Zone and helping out and sharing your wisdom with us today.
Thanks for having me, Charlie.
Well, folks, that's it for another MSP Zone. This is Charles Weaver. Until next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.